Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Bojangles. For over 40 years, Charlotte-based Bojangles has provided biscuits from scratch, hand-breaded fried chicken, and freshly steeped iced tea. More info on the 48-step biscuit-making process at BojanglesBiscuits.com.
Say his name!
George Floyd!
Say his name!
George Floyd!
Say his name!
It's been about 2 months since protests first erupted in Charlotte over the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Here, across the U.S. and across the globe, people took to the streets to demonstrate against police brutality and the mistreatment of Black people. Today, we'll take a look back at those protests and answer your questions. That's coming up on FAQ City. Hey, it's Claire Donnelly. Over the past 2 months, WFAE reporters have spoken with many protesters in Charlotte during demonstrations over police killings. Here are a few.
It's important because I have a Black son. I have a Black father. I have Black uncles. I have Black brothers. So it's time to make a change for the future for our kids.
I mean, it's definitely a new day. Like, and I want people to understand that, like, none of us are asking for revenge or anything like that. We're just asking to be equal. Like, it's going to be uncomfortable. Change doesn't happen when you're not uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, it's nothing. We're not out here to take something away from somebody. We're actually out here to elevate and level, you know, level up.
It's really good to see everyone starting to, like, come together in terms of, like, the relationship between whites and Black people. It has been absolutely amazing.
That's Tonya Brown, Walter Wright, and Candace Miles. The protests in Charlotte and in all 50 U.S. states have focused attention on police reform. And today, we're answering your questions about policing and protesting. Like, what does it mean to defund the police? And after 2 months of conversations and calls for change, what will Charlotte actually do in response to protests? A quick disclaimer, we're recording this on Friday, July 24th at 1:15 p.m. The news is always changing, so tune to WFAE or visit WFAE.org for the latest. Now, some context. On May 25th, 2020, George Floyd, a 46-year-old Black man, was killed in Minneapolis, Minnesota, during an arrest for allegedly using a counterfeit bill. Derek Chauvin, a white police officer, knelt on Floyd's neck for almost 9 minutes while Floyd was handcuffed. He was lying face down in the street, begging for his life, and repeatedly saying, "I can't breathe." A second and third officer further restrained Floyd, while a fourth prevented bystanders from intervening. After videos from witnesses and security cameras became public, all four officers were fired the next day. Two autopsies found Floyd's death to be a homicide. Chauvin was initially charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter, and then later second-degree murder. The three other officers were charged with aiding and abetting second-degree murder. On June 5th, the Minneapolis City Council took action to ban chokeholds and require police officers to intervene against the use of excessive force by other officers. 2 days later, the council committed to dismantle its police department. In Charlotte, protests erupted on May 29th. A crowd of about 250 people gathered outside a Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department office on Beatty's Ford Road. Eventually, officers fired tear gas. CMPD said 15 people were arrested that night and charged with failing to disperse. Later in the evening, officers were called to a Food Lion on Beatty's Ford, where protesters had broken windows and stolen merchandise. The next day, Charlotte City Council declared a state of emergency. Officials didn't issue a curfew. Protests across Charlotte continued for the next several weeks, and some groups are continuing demonstrations. So what's changed in Charlotte since 2016, when protests erupted after the police shooting death of Keith Lamont Scott? Location of protests, for one. Here's Tanya Jameson on WFAE's recent special, Black Charlotte Voices.
In the past, everything was the protests, the speeches, everything was happening uptown. It was all in the uptown area. But this time, we actually have people in South Charlotte. I do a lot of my work in South Charlotte, who are welcoming and open to the idea of making a statement in the South Charlotte area, having marches in the South Charlotte area.
As protests continue, questions continue from the community and from our listeners. So let's get started. First, how many organizations and individuals have protested? We don't know the exact number, but lots of different groups have participated in protests, including, among others, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg branch of the NAACP, the Million Youth March of Charlotte and Salisbury, Kids Fed Up, Charlotte Uprising, and the Charlotte Liberation Party. It's hard to say how many people overall have protested, but at least one protest drew an estimated 6,000 people. Now, this question from Dorothy. She asked, how many people who were arrested were proven paid organizers? Well, we don't know if anyone was paid to protest, but we do know that the majority of people arrested at the initial protests were local. WFAE reviewed a list of arrests from May 29th to June 5th. That's the first 7 days of protests in the city. According to that analysis, 125 people were arrested. 99 of those people had addresses listed on their arrest records, and 86 of those addresses were from Mecklenburg and surrounding counties. Another question. Some protesters have said they want to demilitarize or defund the police. What does that mean? That question was submitted by Chris. Actually, as it turns out, there's a lot of confusion over what that means, says Mollen Chris Herring. He's a professor of criminal justice at North Carolina Central University.
One of the challenges with the concept of the phrase of defunding police, it's still developing. I think sometimes it became a catchphrase and people hooked onto it there, and that's created some frustration and confusion from different aspects of the community.
Herring says sometimes people mean they want to completely abolish the police department, and sometimes they mean taking away some funds from the department and allocating them elsewhere, like to social services. The word demilitarize means getting rid of military characteristics. So some local police departments buy and use military weaponry, like armored vehicles and grenade launchers, and some activists think they should be prohibited from having them. Now let's talk about an incident that got a lot of attention in Charlotte. On June 2nd, according to a video filmed by local publication Queen City Nerve, hundreds of protesters were marching along 4th Street in Uptown. Then CMPD officers fired tear gas and pepper balls from both ends of the protest, seemingly leaving protesters no way out. CMPD says officers warned protesters to disperse before they used tear gas. Several groups filed a lawsuit after the incident, including the local NAACP chapter, the ACLU of North Carolina, and Charlotte Uprising. A superior court judge signed a temporary restraining order to block police from using riot control agents like tear gas on peaceful protesters. The State Bureau of Investigation reviewed the June 2nd incident and found that protesters had two paths of escape. But according to the SBI review, those escape routes required traveling through other kinds of crowd-dispersing chemicals. After the incident, CMPD Chief Kerr Putney said the department was changing its chemical munitions policy. The changes included requiring officers to give, quote, clear and precise directions on a path demonstrators can take when a dispersal order is given. Later, CMPD said it was making even more changes to the policy. At a Charlotte City Council committee meeting, incoming Chief Johnny Jennings said the department would no longer fire chemical munitions at demonstrators from multiple directions.
That policy change will prohibit that kind of activity within part of our plans for disbursement as well.
On June 8th, the Charlotte City Council voted 9-2 to prohibit CMPD from buying tear gas during the next fiscal year, which started this month. We have to take a short break, but coming up, what is tear gas? Is it forbidden in war? And have there been any coronavirus cases linked to the protests? We'll answer those and more of your questions after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. Hey there. Today's podcast was made possible by listeners like you. Thank you to the listeners who have been submitting their questions on wfae.org/FAQCity. And thank you to the listeners who made a contribution to WFAE to support breaking news and in-depth reporting. If you learned something from today's episode and want to support it, you can share the link on social media or give this podcast a rating and review in your favorite podcast app. And if you want to support the podcast even further, become a member of WFAE with a donation of any amount. Just hit the donate button on WFAE.org, and thanks. Hey, we're back. I'm Claire Donnelly, and today we're talking about the recent protests in Charlotte and answering your questions from wfae.org/FAQCity. This next question came both from Jean and Robert. They wanted to know, is tear gas really outlawed for use in war by the Geneva Convention? Yes. In 1925, the Geneva Convention categorized tear gas as a chemical warfare agent and banned its use in wars. And if you're wondering what exactly tear gas is, according to the CDC, it's a broad term for a group of chemical compounds that irritate people's eyes, mouth, throat, lungs, and skin. Tear gas is usually a liquid or powder, not a gas, but can be released in the air as fine droplets or particles. It was first used in World War I. Anna Feigenbaum wrote the book Tear Gas, From the Battlefield of World War I to the Streets of Today. She spoke with WFAE's Charlotte Talks earlier this month.
So after the First World War ended, there was this big push to keep the chemical developments going. And we have to, you know, bear in mind there, 10% of all U.S. chemists are enlisted into the war effort. Massive corporations, chemical corporations, are making loads of profit off of this. So there's a real sort of market and scientific incentive to keep some of this, R&D going.
In the 1990s, there was international pressure to also ban law enforcement from using tear gas. The director of the ACLU's human rights program, Jamil Dakwar, discussed that debate in a 2019 interview with Public Radio International.
That obviously got a pushback from many countries and saying, well, we can't really give up this weapon because if we don't use tear gas, we will have to resort to more lethal weapons.
Dakwar says at the 1993 Chemical Weapons Convention, countries compromised that police could continue to use tear gas to disperse riots. Now another question. How is the phrase Black Lives Matter different from All Lives Matter? And that question was submitted by John. Well, I asked Anita Bledsoe-Gardner about this. She's an associate professor of criminology at Johnson C. Smith University.
I can tell you from my vantage point, when I hear the term Black Lives Matter and what that resonates to me is that African Americans have been disproportionately incarcerated in this country. They have been disproportionately arrested in this country. So I don't think Black Lives Matter is an anti all lives don't matter. I think the movement in and of itself is framed in such a way to bring more awareness of the fact of these social injustices.
So Bledsoe-Gardner says Black Lives Matter is not meant to take anything away from how much other people's lives or other races are valued. Now, what about the coronavirus? Have any cases been linked back to one of these protests? Mecklenburg County Public Health Director Gibby Harris said late last month that it's hard to tell. Harris said the coronavirus has spread so much in the Charlotte area that there are too many potential places people could have caught it.
Even if people tell us they've been to a protest, we cannot automatically assume that's where they were exposed. You know, they may have been the cause for exposure at protests because they were already positive when they went there. There's just no way to know.
North Carolina health officials have said they haven't seen any case clusters because of protests. They say that could be because the protests happened outside or because many participants were wearing masks. They also point out that the protests started not long after North Carolina started reopening some businesses. But if you've been to a protest recently, State Health Director Mandy Cohen says you should get tested. So what happens when the protests are over? Where do we go from here? Those are questions submitted by Elisa. Mollen Chris Herring, the professor from before, says he's hopeful to see so many more people of different races and different generations coming together at these protests.
Now that we have the nation's and the world's attention, now what?
Herring says one thing that was great about the civil rights movement's march on Washington was that the group had specific demands. He says today's protests could benefit from that.
There was this long layout of specifically, this is what we're marching for. And I think that sort of has been the challenge, and maybe it's coming together a little bit more. Specifically, we're rioting or protesting specifically for this platform to be addressed. And you see some of that consensus and structure coming out, because if you don't have that, unfortunately, you know, we might be talking about another incident like this, you know, 5 to 3 years from now.
Anita Bledsoe-Gardner, the other professor I talked to, says it's important to keep the momentum going.
We need to stop having moments and start having movements. And there's a difference. Moments happen when people get enraged about events, singular events that have occurred. We're in a state in this country where we need a movement of something to change.
Thanks for listening to this episode of FAQ City. For the latest on the protests and police, make sure to go to WFAE.org or ask your smart speaker to play WFAE. If you have any questions about the demonstrations, the coronavirus, or anything else related to Charlotte, please share it with us on WFAE.org/FAQCity. And if you're a curious person and you want to hear more FAQ City stories, both upcoming and from the archives, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, the NPR One app, or wherever else you get podcasts. That's all for this week of FAQ City. Until next time, stay safe and take care. I'm Claire Donnelly.
Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Bojangles. For over 40 years, Charlotte-based Bojangles has provided biscuits from scratch, hand-breaded fried chicken, and freshly steeped iced tea. More info on the 48-step biscuit-making process at bojanglesbiscuits.com.